darkness, not a ray or glimmer of light. And we read in Genesis 1:3 that on the first day of creation, God in a mighty powerful voice commanded, "Let there be light," and there was light. Now, do you know what day the sun was created on? Anybody know out there?
I see lips there. Yes, you know. Four. Yeah, day four.
Day four. That's right. Uh-oh, do we have a problem? How can we have light on day one, but we don't have the sun until day four? And some people will say, see, you can't believe the Bible. You can't trust it because it's not true. You can't have the light without the sun, but we don't have a problem at all. And Dr. Matsko, our resident scientist, is going to explain what that light was on day one.
So the light that God created on day one was the entire electromagnetic spectrum. You could just want to say that with me, the electromagnetic spectrum. And that includes the light we can see, the red and the orange and the yellow and the green and the blue, and that's where our eyes are tuned to. Our eyes see in those frequencies of light. In fact, that's where the sun ended up giving off most of its light. It's almost like the same person who created our eyes created the sun. Well, of course, that's true, isn't it? But there's a lot of light you can see here that God created that we can't see. We're going to talk about that as well. That's part of God's unseen creation. But even the light we can see has properties that we don't normally think about, that we don't see.
Can we have the lights, please?
So one of those properties is a refractive index. Ooh, that is dark. Okay. If I fall off the stage, you'll know what happened. All right, here we go. So you can see the light sort of spinning around here in the light tube. This tube consists of plastic of different refractive indices, and it pushes the light toward the middle of the tube. And we use this ability to bend light to make fiber optic cables that send computer and TV and telephone calls and so forth all over the world and on the internet using this principle of refractive index. Now, does anybody know what substance has the highest refractive index, one that bends light more than anything else? Anybody know what that would be? Something that's really hard and it's shiny, and sometimes women wear them on their fingers. On their left hand. Yes. Diamonds, very good.
And so we can try this. The ceiling's up there kind of high. But you look up at the ceiling and see if you can see this. Can you see it? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Now, what we used to do is we'd say to the women, would you like to find out if your diamond is real or not? And the husbands are sitting there, oh, no. But actually, this is the cubic zirconia that you just saw up there. It only costs $15.
Right. Cubic zirconia has an index of refraction of 3.8, diamonds are 4.2. So, man, you're paying a lot of money for 0.4 refractive index units, okay? We got the lights again. Thank you.
Now, I have another. Oh, you need to do it. You have the mic.
Okay. So, I have a Pyrex test tube. It's the kind of glass we use it in laboratory. And then we have some just plain vegetable oil here. Turns out that vegetable oil and Pyrex glass bend light by the same amount. They have both the same refractive index. So when I push this in here, what's going to happen? What do you think? What happened there? What'd you see happen? It disappears. Yeah, it disappears. Okay, see how it disappears like that? Okay. Because it bends light by the same amount. You can see a little bit, just a little bit, can't you? Yeah, where there's a little dirt on the bottom of my test tube. Okay. So we had a boy in a school once, and he said, could you slather vegetable oil all over me so I can disappear? But I told him it didn't work quite like that. Okay, so let's talk about other parts of the electromagnetic spectrum. So we could start to hear gamma rays. We use gamma rays to cure cancer. We can aim them at cancerous cells, and we can cure people of cancer using those gamma rays. We were in Michigan, and there was a pastor there while we were there at his school, and he had a cancer on his nose, and they could either cut it part of his nose off or shoot gamma rays at it, and that's what he chose to do. And every day he came to school, his nose got redder and redder. He was very self-conscious about looking like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And then there are x-rays. So how many of you have had an x-ray? Wow, this is a rough church. Look at that. I've heard of church discipline before, but I know that. Okay, anyway. So x-rays, and some of the older folks here may remember when I was the age of these children, we used to have x-ray machines in the shoe stores, and that's what we enjoyed doing. We'd run the shoe store and stick our feet in the x-ray machine, look, and wiggle our toes, look at the bones in our toes. So I lived at a time when they let children x-ray their own feet. Okay, we don't do that anymore. And then there are UV rays, and sometimes your mom and dad will make you put on sunscreen so you don't get sunburned. And so I have a UV flashlight, and I have some beads here, and these beads are impregnated with a photochromic chemical that is absorbs ultraviolet light, and the molecule twists, and then it absorbs visible light, and it reveals the hidden message, which says BJU Science. Which means everybody that wants to study science should come to Bob Jones University. That's what that means. Okay.
If you don't want to study science, you won't come. the kids weren't very demonstrative just now, but usually this is what they say when they see it change. Hi, Mom.
All right, and then we have infrared rays. Did you know that you all give off light in the infrared? And I just happen to have an infrared camera here I put on my phone, so you can see what you look like in the infrared. And if you kids will just rub your hands together. Here, do this, go like that.
And when the kids in front of you, put your palms out like this, and you'll be able to see you, because it'll be really white. It'll be really hot.
Hold your hand up. Hold your hand up so you can see. Don't you look good in the infrared? So we use those infrared rays. The military uses them to be able to find the enemy. You want to find the enemy before they find you. See them at nighttime with nice vision goggles. And hunters, you use the infrared to find that deer after you've shot it. You want to know where it went and laid down so you can find that deer, because it's still the heat is still being given off. So we're all light bearers as well. And then we have microwaves. Hey, microwaves. You know about microwaves? You ever heat up your lunch with microwaves? Well, how do microwave ovens work? Well, they've tuned to the rotational spectra of the water molecules and makes the water molecules go faster and faster and faster, and that's what heats up your food. So we use that a lot. That's part of the electromagnetic spectrum. And then you have radio waves. Radio waves down here, we think about radio and TV, of course, but we should think about the power in the walls and the lights and so forth. That's all radio waves as well. And the reason why, you know, the Bible is not a science textbook, but everything the Bible says about science is true. You have to have electromagnetism before you can have atoms. Atoms all have electrons that are moving around. Moving electrons give us magnetism, so we have electromagnetism. So the Bible gets it right. You have to create electromagnetism first before you can create atoms, okay? And so we see the order is correct in the Bible. So even though the Bible's not a book of science, it gets that right.
So we have an energy tube here to show you some electricity. Remember, we're talking about things you can't see, so you can't really see much yet, right? But once we make a complete circuit, you're going to be able to see something and hear something.
Okay.
I think I'm going to have to put this down.
Okay. Here we go. You ready?
Uh-huh. Is it going to hurt?
We'll find out. I don't. There's a lot of empty stuff.
Okay, I'm gonna do my favorite one. You won't be able to see this, but you'll be able to. Well, you won't be able to see what we do, but you'll be able to see that it makes a connection. Okay. Okay. Now.
Okay, so here is a, yeah, my rod, my, okay. So here's the energy tube again, and it's got a red LED, a green LED, and a blue LED, and we can actually detect the radio waves coming off this plasma globe as they get closer. See, now the red turns on because that's the lowest energy. Then the green turns on, that's the next lowest. And then the blue turns on, see, as they get closer to the energy globe. So here this electromagnetism is actually all the way out here from the plasma globe that we have here. You want to get a picture of it? See, you can, here, you hold it. Now, go back there. Okay, now let's see if I can get it to come. Okay, that didn't work. We don't have a good connection. There we go. Oh, you're holding the wrong side of it. Hold this side of it. Nope, that didn't work either. I don't know.
This is new. We just got this about 2 weeks ago at the Mall of America, the plasma ball.
How come I conduct and you don't? Okay.
But what? Look, see? Yeah. Touch it.
Okay, we can have the lights again. Oh, we're going to do a Tesla coil.
Oh, yes.
Yes, that's right. So look at the Tesla coil. So now we're going to up the ante a little bit. This is a, we call it Odin coil, and we're transforming 110 volts to 50,000 volts. And the question is, you know, how do I survive this experience?
So I guess we really need the lights again.
Here, I'm going to ground myself on this music stand here.
Are you ready? Okay, here we go. And
see if I can light the good. See if I can light the light bulb. See it already lighting? Okay, we can have lights again.
So the question is, why doesn't Dr. Masco drop over dead from the 50,000 volts? Anyone know?
Yes. What? No, that just keeps my fingers from getting burnt. Okay. So it's because electrons have negative charges. Now don't ask me what negative charge is, because I don't know. But anyway, it has a negative charges. And the like charges repel each other, so the electricity tries to go on the outside of my body rather than on the inside of my body, or it would kill me. So that's why even, only, you know, 70% of people that are struck by lightning actually survive, because electricity, even that much electricity, tries to go on the outside of the body rather than the inside. They may have their clothes burned off, they may be badly injured and burned, but they still survive because the electrons try to get away from each other. That's the reason for that.
Okay, so on day one, do you remember that big word that God created? The electromagnetic spectrum. Can you say that with me? Electromagnetic spectrum. So if anyone ever says they don't believe God's word because day one didn't have the sun to have light, now you know what to tell them, okay? So now we're up to day two. At that point, the earth was just a big blob, no form, no shape at all. And on the second day, God separated the waters from beneath the firmament from the waters above the firmament. And you're probably thinking, what is the firmament? It's simply the place where the sky and outer space is. Okay, now there's something in the sky that we breathe. It's a three-letter word. Do you know what it is? Air. That's right. Now, Dr. Matsko, oftentimes he'll tell, so sometimes we're in science classes, so he's going to talk a little bit more in those science classes about the science behind air. So like he'd say how much oxygen would be in the air and how much nitrogen and how much carbon dioxide. But I think right now, he wants to do
is
show
make
you
some oxygen for them. And so I have some hydrogen peroxide I'm going to put in this bottle. And hydrogen peroxide, just water, H2O, with an extra oxygen on it. So it's got an extra oxygen molecule on it. Then I'm going to add some soap to it so we can see the oxygen when it's formed, we're going to make the oxygen visible so that we can see it. Okay, so now I'm going to add a catalyst, and this catalyst, now you watch closely as I... Okay, so we made some oxygen, and there's a lot, made a lot of heat as well. So we call this elephant's toothpaste, okay? Did you tell him to take a breath of oxygen?
I didn't tell him that yet.
You should tell him that.
Okay. So, you know, sometimes people say, I don't believe there's a God because I can't see him. Right? Have you ever heard that, anybody say that? So right now, I want all of you to take a big breath with me. Did you see what you just breathed in? Yeah. You didn't see it, though, did you? But do you believe it's there? Of course you do. You wouldn't be alive without the air. So if anybody ever tries to tell you they don't believe in God because they can't see him, you say, have him take a breath of air. But there's a lot of things that God has created that we can't see that we have to have to live. So that's not a very valid argument at all.
So this is a... This is called a Haar bottle. It's got a balloon inside a bottle. I blow it up and it stays blown up. So you can see the inside of the balloon. See? So how does that work? How does the balloon stay blown up? Well, we have 8 miles of air above us. It's pushing down on us all the time. And it can only push on the inside of the balloon because the outside of the balloon is covered with glass. So when it pushes on the inside of the balloon, it keeps the balloon blown up. Okay? And you say, well, I don't feel that air pushing on me. Well, that's because you have the same amount of air inside of you that's on the same pressure on the inside as on the outside. And so you don't feel the difference. If you dove down in a swimming pool, went to the bottom of the swimming pool, you'd feel all that pressure of the water on you. That'd be like that. But here you don't feel it at all. And that's part of God's unseen creation. Now I have, what do you think these things are? No, they're not magnets. Yeah, what do you think? Not magnets. So some people call these suction cups, but I call them pressure cups because scientifically speaking, there's no such thing as suction. There's more air pressure or less air pressure. I push them together and push the levers down. I can push all the air out from in between the cups. Can you help me pull them apart? You're not sure.
I think Brittany would like to help. Would you like to help us? Can you come? All we need you to do, Heidi. That's what I meant, Heidi.
You want to help us?
Just hold on to here. Just grab hold. And hold on real tight and see if Dr. Masco can pull you up. He's going to pull her up. Oh, you didn't hold on strong enough. Is there somebody else a little smaller? How about down here?
You want to try? Hold on both hands. Both hands. See if we can... It's pretty strong, isn't it? Pretty strong. And now I do flick them and they come apart again.
Unseen.
That's a rude sound, isn't it? Takes a lot of hot air to be a teacher.
And just a little bit to be his assistant.
Okay, so here's an empty tube, and I'm going to put that on either end of the balloon. I need a hypothesis as to what's going to happen when I take the clips off. Okay, so we have a hypothesis about what's going to happen when the clips go off. What do you think? What is your hypothesis? Air will even out. Our first hypothesis, the air will even out. And the blue balloon and the orange balloon will get the same size, all right? Now, what other hypothesis do we have? So it's going to go back and forth. It's going to oscillate, okay? Any other adults have any ideas what's going to happen? What's going to happen when I take the clip off? You can vote, too, on this. That's how you do science. You vote on it, right? Okay? So anybody think that the blue balloon will get smaller and the orange balloon will get larger? Anybody think that? You think that? Okay. How many think nothing's going to happen? That happens with my demonstrations a lot. Nothing happens. Okay? How many don't think? Okay. Well, let's Let's vote. Okay, how many think that the orange balloon's going to get smaller and the blue balloon's going to get larger? How many think that? Raise your hands, okay? How many think that it's going to oscillate? It's going to go back and forth, okay? How many think the blue balloon's going to get smaller and the orange balloon's going to get larger, okay? How many think nothing's going to happen? I'm not going to ask how many don't think.
Okay.
Okay. That's the pastor's job, not mine. Okay, here we go.
Okay, drum roll, kids. Give me a drum roll. Keep your eye on the blue balloon. Ready, set, go.
Is that a blue?
Right?
Yeah. You got it right. Why did you guess that?
Well, there's more pressure on the blue balloon because it wasn't going up as much.
She knows.
Right, she knows the answer. You get the prize. So see like this tack, okay? If I push on the tack, what's going to happen to my finger? Well, it's not going to do anything to my finger. It's going to hurt my thumb, right? Okay, so this is a smaller area. So like you knew, the smaller the area, the higher the pressure. The blue balloon had the smaller area, so it has the higher pressure. Okay, and we can, you know that's true. When you're blowing up a balloon for a party, when's the hardest time to blow up the balloon? It's when you first start, when it's the smallest, right? And you stretch it to try to get the area larger so it's easier to blow up. Okay, because pressure is equal to force per unit area.
Okay. We need a volunteer, and I'm going to volunteer Riley. Okay?
Come on up.
Okay. Riley, what I'd like you to do, it's fine. Take the single nail here and just push it slowly into the balloon and see how much force it takes to pop the balloon. Okay? Did you feel the force now? Now, go around this side.
Now we
have 100 nails. So 100 nails should have 100 times more area than a single nail. So it should take 100 times more force for Riley to pop the balloon with 100 nails than it did with a single one. Let's see if that's true. So Riley, you feel it and see if you can tell us if that's the case. Keep pushing. Yeah. Would you say maybe that was 100 times more force? Yeah. Okay, thank you, Riley. So the greater the area, the smaller the pressure. The smaller the area, the greater the pressure. You may have seen pictures of like a piece of straw or something picked up by a tornado, and because it has such small cross-sectional area, just rams it through a telephone pole or something because it has so much pressure. Okay, and we also, when we think about air pressure, we think about Bernoulli's principle. Air moving over a curved surface gives us low pressure, like on an airplane wing. So you have low pressure on the top of the airplane wing, high pressure on the bottom keeps the airplane in the air. So you can see it wobbling around there. So the high pressure is out here, the low pressure is there. So the high pressure keeps it pushed into the airstream like that. What was that? You squeezed it? Just use the other one. Okay.
This is the hard part, getting the ping pong ball.
Okay.
One more time.
One more time. This time with feeling. Okay.
You have it going
back. What's that? Okay. Can you get it? I think so. There we go, we got it. Oh, yep. This is a balloon with a penny in it.
Ah,
Makes you look like you have an idea. Paper. Okay. You gonna talk about water?
Yeah. Air is important, right? We all agree that air is important. You got to see a lot of unseen properties of air. And isn't it amazing how we had that renewable principle, how the air would go up like that, have low pressure, high pressure, and then we discovered you could use it to fly.
Okay, so water is unique in the fact that it exists in all three states, solid, liquid, and gas, under the pressure and temperature of the Earth. No other chemical is like that. No other chemical is less dense in its solid form than it is in its liquid form. Just think if water was like every other chemical and the rivers and the lakes would freeze from the bottom up instead of the top down, then all the aquatic life would die. No ice fishing then, okay? So God made it so the ice would form on the top of the lakes and form an insulating layer and keep all the aquatic life alive, okay? So God in his wisdom made it that way. He also made water sticky because of the hydrogen bonding. It's sticky. I have a demonstration of stickiness here. Okay, good. She wants me to do this first. This is my pentapus. You know what a pentapus is? You know what an octopus is, right? Yeah, like an octopus. How many legs would a pentapus have?
Five,
right. So this pentapus is very obedient, obeys my wife a lot better than I do.
Oh, you're pretty good obedient. Okay, Mr. Pentapus, I want you to go down, all the way to the bottom of the bottle. Oh, good boy. Okay, now I want you to go up halfway. Just halfway, slowly. Okay, I want you to stop now. Stop.
You're awfully demanding.
Okay, all the way to the top now. Okay, good. Sometimes it'll even follow my finger.
Okay. It's not a magic trick. How does it work? Somebody tell me how it works. Anybody know? Squeeze on the bottle. Very good. So how does that work? That's the question. How does it work? You want to squeeze it? There you go. Yeah, so why does it do that? That's the question. So why does squeezing in the bottle make it go up and down? No, that's not right. There's a little air bubble in the pentapus. And so when I squeeze on it, one of the unusual properties of water is not very compressible because it has the hydrogen bonding. And so the little air bubble there gets bigger or smaller as I press on the water. The water goes into the Cartesian diver, makes the air bubble bigger or smaller. Okay? Fish can do this. Fish can change where they are in the column of water using their swim bladders, okay? And go up and down. So that's a demonstration of density. We're going to talk about how water is sticky. Can we do that? So this is a rubber ball with some water in it. And you'll notice that when I throw it at my wife, at the tray, it flattens out and then pulls back into a, let me go over there, I'll do it over here. It goes back into a ball because water is sticky. The lowest energy state is a sphere. And so all the molecules pull together because the water is sticky. And we depend upon that. If water wasn't sticky, the water couldn't get up into the plants. We saw the big redwoods out in California last year. How does the water get all the way to the top of the plants? Well, the water molecules evaporate from the top, and it pulls other water molecules up. And so without the stickiness of water, plants couldn't live. And our bodies are mostly water as well. You wouldn't be able to get all the blood into all our capillaries. Show a demonstration of the stickiness of water. And I'm going to pour water down a string, showing that it's sticky. Okay?
You can do this one at home.
See how the water goes down the string like that? Okay, because the water is sticky. God made water sticky so that life could thrive here on the surface of the earth. Now, you'll notice here that water covers 71% of the Earth's surface. We talked about this yesterday, the fact that water has a high heat capacity. That is, it can absorb a lot of heat because it has all those extra hydrogen bonds. It can absorb a lot of heat and not get hot. And so it keeps the Earth temperate, keeps it from getting too hot or getting too cold, and allows life to thrive here on the Earth. God said He created the Earth not in vain. He created it to be inhabited. So I have a demonstration that we did yesterday. This is a mixture of isopropyl alcohol and salt water.
These two sticky ones.
That's all right. We're running out of time here. And so going to set it on fire. The alcohol will burn, and the water will absorb the heat and keep the rag from burning, keep it cool. Try it with my right hand here. There you go. Okay, and then I put the salt in there so you can see the flame. It gives us a yellow color so we can see it. How about that? My wife doesn't like the fire on the tray, but it doesn't hurt anything.
Because it protects it.
Because the water protects
it. Heat capacity. Now, I bet there's somebody out there and has something in their wallet that's made out of cloth, just like this rag, and it's green. And we'd like to see if it'll burn up. So who has a 20? Anyone have a 20? Don't you have enough faith to believe that we can burn up a 20?
Not burn up a 20. Thank you for the contribution. Okay, here we go. Let's see if Andrew Jackson will burn. Okay, here we go. Okay. And so your 20 is perfectly safe. You don't have time. There's no time. There's no time. We're out of time. I got a long sermon. I got to preach.
Okay, when you go to another country, many of you know that the money is different, okay? Australian money is beautiful. Every bill's a different color, and it's a different size. Actually, they come to America, and they say, how can you tell your money apart? It's all green and the same size. So anyway, my husband, being a good scientist, he had only ever done American money in Australia. Well, about 6 years ago, the day before we came home, he decided to try Australian money. Now, Australian money is not made out of cloth. Can you tell what that's made out of? Can you tell? It's plastic. That's right. Well, you know, plastic doesn't absorb water. No, heat.
Water.
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 Like cloth does. So my husband came to me and showed me what he had done. Now, he didn't use a 5, he didn't use a 10, he didn't even use a 20. He used a $50 bill.
She said she was speechless, but she wasn't.
It was totally destroyed, just totally bubbled up, and there's no way I was going to take that to a store and try to spend it. But then I thought, well, you know, in America, if you have a bad bill, you just go to the bank, right, and they'll just trade you for a new one. And so on our way back, I said, oh, there's a little bank. Stop. I'll run in. I won't make you go. I'll go in and see if they'll trade it for me. First thing she said, do you have a bank account here? And of course I didn't, because I was from America. She said, sorry, I can't help you. So I was speechless again. But then we went back to the missionary's house that we were staying with and told them my sad story. And they said, well, we have a bank account. They'll probably trade it for us. Well, we left early the next morning. It took about 3 weeks. And I found out, sure enough, they got a new $50 bill. Now, see, the end of the story is actually good, because that was the way the Lord used us to give them $50. Obviously, the missionaries needed $50 more than we did. And that was quite a roundabout way, wasn't it, to get $50. And also, it makes a great story when we're traveling. I had no idea we'd be traveling doing this 6 years ago. So, but because I tell this story about my husband, he thinks it makes him look kind of like a
knucklehead.
Yeah. So okay. Now he's going to set my hand on fire.
And then we'll set some other people on fire.
We're out of time. Okay. I saw that hand, that hand, that hand. You three, okay?
Come on up.
Come on up.
Sarah, come on up. So what you do is you dip your hand all the way up, just one at a time, all the way up to your wrist. And then just scoop some bubbles off the top. Don't go in the water, just come across the top.
Some churches, they handle snakes. We light children on fire.
Fewer the bubbles, the fewer the flames. Okay. Okay, go all the way up. That's all right. No, let's go all the way up to your wrist. There you go. Now just scoop off. All right, now we can go. There you go. So you can come on up.
There you go.
All the way up to your wrist. All the way. Get all those wrist hairs. Yep, there you go. Now scoop off the top. Don't go in the water. Flatten out your fingers. Flatten out.
I don't think I want you.
Any adults out there? Any chance? Come on up. I think Pastor said we have a couple extra minutes here, so we'll if you want to have your hand set on fire, come on up. Flatten it out. Whoa. Cool. Try. Okay, all the way up to the wrist. There you go. Now just scoop across the top. I'm just going to put bubbles in your hand. There you go. Now flatten it out.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, all the way up to your wrist. Okay, now scoop off the top. There you go. Now flatten out your fingers.
There you go. Here we go. Okay, well, I think we're out of time here.
There's a boy. Let's get a boy. Come on up. You two boys, come on up. Okay. And you can come up, too. Go ahead. Come on up.
We have a service to come here.
I know, but he said we could go till 10 after. Oh, I'm out of cloth. There's one over here. Okay, all the way up to your wrist. Okay, all the way up. There you go. Now just scoop some off the top. Don't go in the water there. Just scoop some off the top. There you go. Flatten your hand. Flatten out your fingers. Flatten it out. Okay, all the way up to your wrist. All the way, yeah, there you go. Now just scoop off the top. There you go. Flatten your fingers. Flatten them out. Okay, you can stop it now.
Okay. When I was your age, kids, we had a scientist came to my church, and I don't remember what he said, but I remember that he believed the Bible, and that really helped me get all the way through school without doubting that the Bible was true. Just remember that Bible and science go together. They're not in contradiction to either. They go together, and we need a lot of boys and girls to decide that they want to become scientists and engineers, because the world needs more Christian scientists and engineers. And it's a way that we can serve God that way. The Bible talks about subduing the earth, having dominion over the earth. And science is one way we can push nature toward a useful end to help other people and to glorify God in that way.
Now, can we have an encore?
This is an encore?
Another minute? Okay.
Okay.
This is one of my favorites. It's also water is sticky.
You can do this one at home. Just take a piece of fly screen, put it on a mason jar like this, and pour it through here. My wife always wants to do all the demonstrations. And we'll put the card on it, turn it upside down, pull it out, and the water stays in the jar. See the water in there? Because water is sticky. It sticks to itself, sticks to the water. You've been wet before, haven't you? Okay, there you go. And if I want to get it back out again, I just turn it sideways, and it comes out. Okay. Because water is sticky. Okay, thank you for being such a good audience. We're gonna do it.